Just before you sit down, please take hands with the people around you. The Word of God says our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's somebody out there that doesn't want us to know God, doesn't want us to be blessed, doesn't want us to be prosperous, doesn't want us to learn, doesn't want us to change and transform. And unfortunately, these things do mess around even in the church. And we're going to put our foot down. The Word of God says, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I want you to make the following declaration. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I take authority over every principality, every power, every ruler, all darkness, all spiritual wickedness, every devil, every demon, every curse, all witchcraft, all sorcery. In Jesus' name, get under my feet right now and stay there. Amen. Thank you. Please sit down. Well, praise God. You know, this weekend I was attending a function where we were busy talking about the things of God, and we were talking about what we experience when God moves and when the power of God flows. And I actually just want to talk about that today. How many of you know that God is real? You know, a friend of ours was sharing that he attended a church. Doesn't matter which church it is, just attended a church. And he made the following statement. He said, I went there and I felt no life. I experienced nothing. It was dead. And you know, for me that's sad. And I'm going to tell you why that is sad. Because the church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ should reflect the nature and the life of Christ. And I want to talk about that just a little bit today. I want to talk about God and about His heart for people. You know, the Bible says that sin brings death, and death separates us from God, because God is life. And here's the thing, every one of us is put on this earth to find God. We're not just put on this earth to complete some stupid menial tasks or to do whatever. We put ya for the first reason why we put ya is to find God. Because when we find God and the life of Christ comes into us, we get switched on to who God is and who we are in Christ. Did you know that there's more to your life than what you know right now? You know, the Word of God says in the book of 1 Corinthians Chapter 2, I'm just going to read this very quickly and talk about that, and then I'll get back to what I'm talking about. Is the Apostle Paul speaking? He speaks to the Corinthian church and he says to them, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory since before time began. And none of the rulers of this age has understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. Now I want you to listen to me very carefully. When you look in the mirror, you see flesh. You see what you might perceive to be a very uninteresting individual. I don't know how you look at yourself. But we need to realize that when God looks at us, He looks at us in a completely different way. You know, we go through life where people put us down a lot. People tell us we're not good enough. People tell us we're stupid. People tell us we'll never amount to anything. You know, people like to be negative. People like to be very critical with their tongues. And sometimes we take those things to heart and we start losing faith in ourselves. Never mind God. It's no use you believe in God, but you don't believe in yourself. Every one of us was put here for a reason, a godly reason. And I want to take you back to this scripture. I'm going to explain these now and then I'll tie it into what I'm talking about. No eye has seen. In other words, your mom didn't see it. Your dad didn't see it. Your third grade teacher that belittled you in front of the whole school didn't see it. That boyfriend that dropped you in front of everybody didn't see it. Your ex-husband or your ex-wife didn't see it. Your children can't see it. There's only one that sees it. Who's that? You see, what God sees and what you see is not the same. The scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You know, sometimes we look at people and we say to them, oh, there's more to you than meets the eye. You know, when God looks at you, if God wants to say to you something today, God would probably say to you, there's more to you than meets the eye. You know, one thing we must understand about the devil does understand spiritual things to a certain extent. The devil understands that what looks harmless, what looks useless, what looks like, who cares, can be the vessel that God uses to turn and transform everything around. You know, I've said this many times, but there was a time when David was a 16-year-old boy tending sheep. The Bible says he had freckles and he wasn't the most handsomest oak. And probably nobody gave him much of a chance. In fact, we know that when the prophet of God, Samuel, went there to go and anoint the next king of Israel, he asked all the brothers to be brought, and when he saw the first brother was strong and he was big and he had a good complexion and he was handsome and, you know, he was a strapping dude, and the prophet looked at him and he thought, oh, that looks like a king. It must be him and I'm going to anoint him. And the Spirit of God said, hey, take a step back. It's not him. And then the second son came and he was just a little bit smaller, but he was also big and he had broad shoulders and he was strong and he was a strapping man. And the prophet thought, oh, this looks like a king. And he went to anoint him and the Spirit of God said, hey, stop. Take a step back. It's not him. And so it went. I think there were six brothers. And then eventually he'd gone through all the brothers and he was like, oh, but I'm supposed to anoint the king. And they've all passed. Yeah. And it's not one of them. And then he asked, do you have another son? They said, yeah, but you know what? He's up there in the mountains tending the sheep. And you know what? He's young and stupid and idiot and immature. And you know what? Ah, it can't be him. The prophet said, hey, God hasn't said nothing to me about any of these oaks. There's only one left. It must be him. Bring him quick, quick. And the moment David came and stood in front of him, red hair, freckles. You know what you like when you're a teenager? Where's my friend Dino? Where's Dino? Dino, come here quickly. He's bunking again. Yeah, I'm going to sort him out. Ah, here he comes. Here he comes. Just take a look back there. Look at that. Doesn't that look just, you know what? He looks clumsy. He looks... You know what? I don't want to be funny, but he's got that stupid grin on his face. I mean, come on. Hello? But it doesn't matter. Because no matter what he looks like, what's inside of him is what matters. And you see, when David came walking in there, probably he had this like shuffle, you know. Like. Probably he fell over his own 2 feet. Probably also had a stupid grin on his face. But you know what happened? The strangest thing happened, because then the Spirit of God moved and touched the prophet and said, this is the man. Anoint him. He's the next king. Can I tell you what? All his brothers fainted right there. Boom. Because nobody expected anything to come of him. Everybody expected him to stay stupid, to stay an idiot. So Dino, the good news for you is there's hope for you, my friend. God bless you. Amen. Now here's the thing. Listen to what the scripture says. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Some people looked at David and saw a stupid teenager. God looked at David and saw a king. Some people looked at Saul and saw a stupid Pharisee. God looked at Saul and saw an evangelist that would start a revolution that would last until today. Some people looked at Peter and saw a guy with a temper that would probably amount to not much and end up in jail one day. And God saw in him an evangelist that would change the lives of people. God saw in him a healer that would touch the cripple and they would walk. A man whose shadow would fall on people and they would get healed. Look at your neighbor and say, there's more to you than meets the eye. Let's look at the scripture. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Do you agree with me that we need more wisdom? All right, now here's the thing. God is talking there about a specific type of wisdom. You are not going to find it in the National Geographic magazine. You are not going to find it in the car magazine. You are not going to find it on the Oprah show. You are not going to find it anywhere on TV unless you spend time in the Word of God. Why? Because the wisdom that God is talking about is not worldly wisdom. You know, there's a lot of people that the world seem to feel has wisdom. Can I tell you where wisdom comes from? Wisdom comes from God. There's a lot of men and women out there, they have interesting things to say, but when God looks at them, he thinks, but you know what, that's ridiculous. Because true wisdom does not come from the brain of man. True wisdom comes from the mouth and the heart of God. And this is what he says. He says, yeah, but we do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the Jew, but not the wisdom of this age. You know what? A lot of people have the wisdom of this age. They've been to university. They've been to college. They've been to school. They've been there. They've done that. They've got the t-shirt. And according to them, they're very, very clever. Then how is it that these clever people keep messing up? Because that's not the wisdom that's going to change your life. The wisdom that's going to change your life is the Word of God. Because the Word of God contains everything that you need to live a good, prosperous, healthy, blessed life. And he says, this is what we need. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Who is the rulers of this age? Who can help me? Well, you see, in this case, he's not talking about the king. He's not talking about the prince. He's not talking about the monarch. He's not talking about the prime minister. He's not talking about the president. He's talking about Satan's kingdom, because he says, yeah, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. When the Apostle Paul speaks to us about the kingdom of Satan, he says, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Just touch the person next to you quickly. That's flesh and blood. And don't be touching another man's wife. He's going to clap you, and then we got problems. Okay, just touch the other side. The Bible says, listen to this. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Where is the war? Yes, you can tell me there's a war going on in Iraq. Yeah, I understand that, but the war in your life is between you and something dark and sinister that doesn't want you to prosper. Something dark and sinister that wants your life to go down into the pit, that wants you to be depressed, that wants you to be stressed, that wants you to fall apart, that wants everything in your life to go wrong. There is a war going on in everybody's life. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. And neither does the devil. The fact that you are born means you are a problem for him. I'm going to say to you again, nobody thought David would amount to anything. He turned out to be a friend of God and the best king that Israel ever had. Probably nobody thought that Peter would amount to anything. But God used him to be the first man to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to unbelievers called Gentiles back then. He was the father of the modern day church. And so the Bible is full of people. In fact, there was a guy by the name of Gideon. One day, Gideon was sitting there minding his own business under a tree, and an angel of God walked up to him and said, "How's it, mighty man of valor, mighty warrior of God?" Do you know what Gideon answered him? Who can remember? I preached on it a while ago. Gideon looked at him and he said, okay, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but Gideon looked at him and he said, you must be mad. You must be crazy. First of all, I'm from the weakest clan in Israel. I'm from the weakest family in Israel and I'm the weakest man in my family. I'm nothing. I'm useless. I'm pathetic. And you calling me a warrior? The angel said, yes. Do you know why the angel called him a warrior? Because the angel knew what God had put inside of Gideon. Gideon didn't know it. Gideon's father didn't know it. Gideon's mother didn't know it. Gideon's friends didn't know it. They all told him, you're useless and weak and pathetic. But can I tell you something about Gideon? Gideon went up against the Philistines, the Amalekites, all thoseites, and by the grace and the power of God, with 300 men, he conquered 10,000. Can you do that? Can you do that? Gideon did. Do you know why? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You see, the devil has figured out something by now. God means business when He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's a treasure inside of you. There's a treasure inside of me. And the devil doesn't want that treasure to come out. And you know how we gain access to that treasure? Positive thinking won't get you there. Hypnosis won't get you there. There's a whole list of stuff that's weird and funny and strange. Yes, you can. Yeah.
There's a red blanket in the bottom.
Yes. No, well, praise God. Amen. Well, bless God. Godly. Amen. Here's the thing. Inside of me, inside of you is something phenomenal, something amazing, something spectacular. It will always be there. But just because it's there doesn't mean you're going to experience it. Just because it's there doesn't mean it's going to do something for you. You know your kettle at home? It can make nice coffee. Do you agree with me? Okay, maybe you drink a bit of tea. So what? It makes nice coffee. It makes nice tea. But something has to happen for it to operate. What must happen? You have to plug it into the power. If it's not plugged into the power, it's a paperweight. You can't do nothing with it. You know that nice car that brought you here? If somebody doesn't put some petrol in and turn the key and start it, it's not going to do nothing. It's a boat anchor. We the same. You have unlimited potential inside of you. God can change people's lives through you. God can heal people through you. But the fact of the matter is, until you don't get plugged in, it's not going to do nothing for you. I started off by saying, last night we had a discussion and somebody made mention to the fact that they went somewhere and they perceived it was just dead. They felt no life. They felt no power. And that's sad. And I'm going to tell you why that's sad. Because we all need that life. We all need that power. And there's only one place where you're going to find it. Let me tell you where you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it in the bottom of a whiskey bottle. You're not going to find it in a cigarette or some weird concoction that you rolled yourself. You're not going to find it in a bunch of pills. You're not going to find it in a self-help book. You're not going to find it when somebody hypnotizes you. Talking about, let me share with you something that happened many years ago. I was dealing with a young lady. Actually, I was preaching in a church and a young lady came forward and she asked me to pray for her because she had this really bad eye infection. And it had got so bad and it had been on her for so long that the doctors told her that if they can't stem this now, she was going to lose her eye because it was eating away at her eye. From what I can remember, she had had this infection for a number of months, something like between 3 and 6 months she'd already had this infection. And it was really, really aggressive. So she came forward for prayer that day and she said, please, Pastor, can you pray for me? Because this is my situation. I have this infection in my eye. It's not going away. And the doctors say they don't have much hope because she was on the strongest antibiotics that they could give her. They couldn't do much more for her. And it wasn't responding to any kind of a treatment. I said, okay, fine. Let's pray. I put my hands on her and I began to pray for her. I was praying for healing. I was praying for the hand of God and the finger of God to come and touch her. And I was trusting God that her eye was going to get better. And then I had a surprise. Even though I was praying for her for healing, the power of God was beginning to manifest. And something in her life did not like what was happening there. Can you guess what it was? It was a demon. The next moment, something started screaming out of this girl. And the thing started swearing at me. And it told me to, you know, peep off and don't touch her and leave her alone. I looked at that and I took authority over the demon and I asked him who he was. After a bit of a fight, the thing eventually spoke to me and he told me the following. She had gone for hypnosis. She believed at some point in time in reincarnation. And the reason she went for hypnosis was because she wanted to find out who she was in her previous lives. She wanted some past life regression or something stupid like that. And she went to this woman who hypnotized her, and under hypnosis, it came out that she was in fact Queen Cleopatra. I mean, how scary is that? But when she was 20-something years old, which was roughly the age that she was when I prayed for her, apparently somebody threw her with a rock in her eye in Egypt. And she lost her eye. Now, I don't know if Queen Cleopatra actually lost her eye or not. I've never checked up on that. This is just what was said to me. And from the day that she came back from the hypnosis, she developed this problem with her eye. And the demon was saying that because in her past life she lost her eye, in this life she must also lose her eye. Now, firstly, she did not have a past life because it's not biblical. But because she went and played with the things of the devil, she gave power to the devil to start working against her. And what was spoken at that point in time through her under hypnosis, the devil was using that to afflict her. And the thing told me straight, I'm going to make her lose her eye. She's going to go blind in that eye. And I said, no, you're not going to do that. I called the girl back and I said to her, listen, this is the situation. You gave the devil a lot of place. You gave the devil a lot of power. And because of what you did, he now has the power to work against you. But God is merciful. God is just. If you confess it, if you repent of it, and if you ask God for forgiveness, God is merciful and he will set you free. I led her in a simple prayer. She confessed what she did. She asked God for forgiveness. And you know what? The power of God came upon her and the demon came out. Within a week, her eye was normal. Something that for months the doctors could not cure, God sorted out in 1 week. But you know why? Because God is alive. Because the finger of God still moves. You know, there's some people out there that they kind of like believe in a dead God. And I can't understand that. They believe in a God that operated way back when in the days of the Bible. They believe in a God that could heal back then, but he can't do things like that now. And he set the captives free back then, but now you got a problem, you got to just live with it because there's nothing that nobody can do for you. They believe in a God that did miracles back then, but today you need supernatural power, you better go to the devil because God is asleep or God is dead or God... No, that's not right and that's not true. God is alive. And when you go to the house of God and you go into the presence of God, if God is truly there, you must feel his power. You must experience his life. You know, Jesus Christ came to this earth, the Son of God, to reveal to man who God is and how God operates. And I want to tell you something. If you walked with Jesus, you would not have had one boring day. You never knew what was going to happen next. Maybe he was going to have a confrontation with a man that cut himself to pieces and couldn't be tied with chains, who could break them with his bare hands and can destroy cities in one day. Maybe you would have an experience where he would start walking on the water and come past your ship and you would think, oh, but I'm seeing a ghost. Maybe, just maybe, you would see him tell the guys, oh, you didn't catch any fish. You made a mistake. Don't drop it on the left. Drop it on the right. And then their boat began to sink when they tried to bring in the catch because there were so many. Maybe you would be there that day when they were at a wedding, and the groom didn't plan things so lekker, and they were running out of wine, and Jesus said, bring those big drums, fill them with water, taste it, and it was the best wine that you could ever imagine. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus manifested the power of God everywhere he went, every day of his life. Some people tell us that he's dead. The Word of God tells us he is risen. Jesus said to the disciples, it is better for you that I go. The disciples didn't want Jesus to go. When Jesus spoke about his death, they complained. In fact, Peter rebuked him. And Jesus said, hey, get behind me, Satan. And the reason the disciples were like that, they didn't want to lose Jesus. They didn't want this man who could do all these amazing things to disappear. And I don't blame them, because I wouldn't have wanted him to disappear either. I mean, what am I going to do with my life after he goes? For 3 years, I've had like the most amazing life. I saw signs and wonders and miracles every day, and now he's going to go away. What am I going to do with myself? But they didn't understand the plan of God. Because God allowed Jesus to come to start a revolution, but Jesus would not finish the revolution. The Holy Spirit and you and I are going to finish it. Jesus came to sow the seed. We are yet to reap the fruit of that seed. Jesus came to release the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. We have the benefit of experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. Unfortunately, there are some churches that just don't seem to believe that that's possible in this day and age. I've got news for you. Not only is it possible, but God expects it to happen. There's an opposite to life. What is it called? You see, my friend, here's something that you have to understand. You either have life in your life or you have death. And if you have death, you have nothing. Sometimes people think unbelievers are stupid. Let me tell you something about unbelievers. They're not stupid. They're actually quite clever. If an unbeliever walks into a dead church, he probably won't come back. Do you know why? Because it's no different from sitting at home. Why must I go through all the trouble to going to church if I get nothing? Because at home I get nothing. At least at home I watch TV. I can make a cup of coffee when I want to. I can put my feet up or I can fall asleep. Why must I sit in a dead place? If I want to be dead, I can be dead at home. Doesn't cost me nothing. And then we wonder why they don't go back to church. I'll tell you why. Because when somebody experiences life, their whole spirit knows, oh, something is happening to me. What is the best way to evangelize people? Is to bring them into the power of God. Because when somebody truly feels the power of God, it's going to help them to no end to make up their mind what they want to do with their life. You've heard my testimony, some of you in any case. Many, 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 many years ago, I was in a church one night. I didn't plan on being there. God planned on putting me there. Through a circumstance, through a series of events and circumstances, I happened to end up in this church on a Sunday night. I wasn't really a church-going person back then. I was like living for the world. And that day I was sitting in the church. I felt a bit trapped. I felt like I was tricked to be there. I was a little bit, because I didn't want to be there. And then the pastor began to preach. And you know what? Something really strange and weird happened. And let me tell you something. The weird power of God is still available today. And we have a lot of weirdness in the church. I don't care if you like it or not. It's true. Weird things happen all the time when the power of God begins to move. And I was sitting there in the back of the church. And it was like I had this voice talking to me, saying to me, you must get out of here. This is not for you. Go away. I started feeling uncomfortable. I started feeling weird. In fact, I started feeling nauseous. I think the devil was just giving me some weird experience in my stomach to get me to go. It was like convincing me that you have to go. You feel sick. And you know, then something strange happened. I wanted to get up to walk. I was as far from the door as I am from this man. I just had to get up, take one step, and I was opening the door and I was out the church. Do you know what happened when I tried to get up? I was stuck on the chair. Now you must understand something. I've got a fairly good rational mind, and my rational mind just blew up. It just imploded right there, because here's the thing. Not once in my life until that day has my legs refused to obey me, but that day they wouldn't listen to me. My brain was saying, get up, what's wrong with you? Come on, make a plan, get up, come on. Hup, two, three, and nothing was happening. I sat there and I thought, oh my God, what's going on here? If I was feeling bad before then, now I was having a panic attack, because now I'm thinking I've gone paralyzed, you know, something is wrong. My heart started beating. My heart was beating so fast that I could hardly hear what the guy was saying, but even though my heart was beating so fast and I could hear this in my ears, I heard every word. And you know the funny thing? The words that that man was speaking weren't entering my ears. They were coming into my heart. The reason my heart was beating faster and faster and faster was because everything this man was saying was cutting into my heart. It was a really strange feeling. So there I am, stuck on a chair in a church, feeling very sorry for myself, wondering what the heck is happening to me now, thinking that I must be going mad or insane. And then God touched me. Do you know what I felt that day? I felt life. It wasn't the kind of life I was used to, but it was life. It was strange. It was weird. It was different, but it was powerful. It was more powerful than anything I had ever felt in my entire life. I felt the power of God moving through my entire body. I was shaking. I was shivering. I was having hot and cold flushes. I had electricity moving all over my body. I felt the touch of God. Did I deserve it? Probably not. But then again, God is merciful. And God decided that day to have mercy on me. And I can say, I praise God that on that day, I was in a church where there wasn't death, there was life. And I felt that life move through me. The pastor made an altar call. He said, if you feel God was speaking to you today, come forward and I'm going to pray for you. Do you know these legs that wouldn't listen to me, that had a mind of their own? The moment he said that, it felt like something released me and power shot through into my legs. The next thing I know, whoop, I'm standing up. I'm thinking, what? And there I start marching. I'm telling you, my mind was blown. And then I'm standing in the front. This man comes and he stands in front of me. He looks at me. He put his hand on my head, and when he touched me, I felt this rush of energy, this rush of power coming into my body. To make a long story short, my life changed that day. From that day, I would never be the same again. I want to tell you something about my past. I always believed in God. There was never a situation where I did not believe in God. I believed in God. I just didn't have a lot of time for Him because I was young and I had a lot of things to do. I had a life to live, and I was stupid because I never realized how much I needed God until I felt His power the first time. That's why I can relate to the disciples when Peter said to Jesus, I will never allow this. This will never happen. He didn't want the life, the power that he was experiencing to go away, because he didn't understand. That night, the power of God came into me. Later on, I would realize that I experienced what was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit that night. And you know, from that night on, I was never the same again. I praise God for churches that are alive. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of churches that are not alive. There's a lot of churches where the power of God does not manifest, where the Holy Spirit does not move, where lives do not change. Unfortunately, there's a lot of places where people sit for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years with the same problems, the same issues, the same nonsense, and nothing ever gets done about it. Can I tell you why? Because people can't help you. Only God can. And let me tell you something, a good sermon is good, but it's never changed nobody. It's the touch of God that changes people. It's the finger of God that moves to take away your trials, your tribulations, your problems, your sickness, your infirmity, your madness, your insanity, your worries, your cares, your problems. And until you come to a place that you realize that and you become hungry for more of God, you will not know what I'm talking about, but it is available. God is still in the business of changing lives. How's about He changes yours right here, right now? He can. And I want to tell you something, He wants to. Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. When God touched my life back then, I had one mission in life. I was a businessman. I had a small little business. My plans for the future was to grow the business and one day have a family business. My son could come and work for me. One day he could take over. And that was kind of like my dream. That was what I was working towards. I had no plans to become a pastor or a preacher or a teacher or an evangelist. In fact, I never even thought about it. In fact, I want to go so far as to say to you that if you could have my matric class sitting here today, if we could go back in time and I was still sitting in my matric class and you came and you asked, what do you think this one will be and what do you think that one will be? If you asked them, how many of you believe that Rian would one day become a pastor, they would all start throwing you with rotten eggs like, you must be crazy, you must be stupid, because I was a very naughty boy. Nobody. In fact, now and then I still run into people from my past. And I wish you can see their faces when they ask me, what do I do with myself? And I say, I'm a pastor. It's like, what? You must be crazy. You? Yes, me. You know, God has a sense of humor. Do you know how many of those people I've helped? Do you know how many people in my past came to a place in their life where the pawpaw hit the fan and they didn't know what to do with their lives anymore? And then God is amazing. He sends them across my path. And I've helped so many, probably half of the class of 89 from Hoërskool Die Fakkel. God has changed. I've seen them all come to Christ. I've seen them get saved. And I've seen them move on with their lives. You know why? Because God touched mine. So let me tell you again, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But even though that is very true, it is only when God touches you that you get to the place that you begin to see that. That's a nice verse, but it's not true for everybody. It's true for those that take it and make it their own. And for you to experience what this verse says, you have to come to a place where the power of God can touch you and push what's inside to come outside. It's called life. Jesus said one day, He was at the feast and the people were looking for Him, and a lot of the people were coming towards Him and they wanted something, and Jesus knew that they were thirsty. And Jesus made a statement. Jesus said, if you come to Me and you receive from Me the living water, you will never thirst again. And streams of living water will come flowing from you. Think about water. Okay, before you think about water, think about being at the seaside in the middle of December. It's 12 o'clock noon. The sun is bearing down. It's about 35 degrees. It's hot. And you haven't had anything to drink since this morning, 8 o'clock. Your tongue is dry. Your lips are parched. And you'll do anything for just a drop of water. Well, that's how our souls feel. We might not realize it. But some of us have been walking for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years, and your soul is crying out for the living water of God. In fact, you are on your last legs. And if only you could get that drop of living water, it's available. God gives it freely. But you see, here's the thing. If you go to a dry riverbed, there's going to be nothing for you there. If you go to a cool mountain stream, you can drink as much as you want. Where you go determines what you get. God is alive, and He wants to give us the living water. But you're not going to find the living water just anywhere. The living water is there where God moves, where the Spirit of God moves, where the power of God manifests. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen everywhere. I started just now and I said to you, we think unbelievers are stupid. They're not. If I give her a cup that's empty and I tell her to drink, don't you think she's going to feel cheated when she drinks and there's nothing in there? A lot of unbelievers get taken to church every Sunday and they walk out of there feeling cheated. It's like, oh, I was expecting more. You went to the wrong place. Just look around. Just search a bit. Because the power of God is real. The Spirit of God still moves. God still heals the sick. He still cleanses the leper. He still raises the dead. He still casts out demons. He still changes lives. He still does miracles. You just got to get to the right place to find it. And when you go to that place and you open your heart and you receive from God, I want to tell you something, your life will change. You will never be the same again. I have seen countless people's lives change when the power of God touched them. And I want to say something to you. God does love to touch people's lives. If you're sitting in a dark pit right now, that's not where God wants you to be. If you are full of doubt and guilt and shame and ridicule and unbelief right now, that's not what God has for you. God has something better. But until God Himself touches you, you can't get rid of that. Jesus said, "Come to me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy." In other words, come to me and I'll take your burdens and I'll give you rest and I'll give you peace. But you got to go to a place where Jesus is for Him to take it. You know, the Bible says one day some people will stand before God and say, "Oh, Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons in your name?" And Jesus says, "I will look at you and I will say, get away from me. I do not know you." Just because an institution is religious doesn't mean God moves there. Some people are so busy talking about God that they never took the time to meet the God that they talk about. They can't help you. It's the people that have experienced God and the power of God has filled them that are going to change your life. Why do you think Jesus spent 3 years with the disciples? Because He wanted them to know Him, to learn from Him. They didn't realize it, but they were like 12 little sponges. And as Jesus was walking, doing miracles, signs, wonders, healing the sick, and doing all those amazing things, they were soaking up the living water that was coming from Him. And you know that if you take a sponge and you fill it with water, you can take it somewhere and squeeze it, and the water will come right out. That's how it works. But if you put a sponge in a dry bucket and you take it out and you expect to squeeze and something must happen, there's going to be nothing because there's no water. Life. What you need today is life. Oh, but Rian, you don't understand. I am alive. No, you're not. You're existing. And there's a big difference between existing, going from day to day, going through the motions and just trying to survive, and living life. Living life is when something touches you in here. And even though you have problems, even though you have trials and you have tribulations and yeah, you have lots of issues in your life, you have hope for the future because you know God is real. That's life. Tell you something about life. God touched my life almost 20 years ago. He changed and transformed my life. That didn't take away my problems. That didn't take away the issues. That didn't take away the trials and tribulations, but I handle things better. You know why? Because life is inside of me. The Holy Spirit is sometimes called the wind of God. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 8, it says the following. The wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he comes from, and you don't know where he is going, and so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. Did you hear that? I'm going to repeat it. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, the wind, which is the Spirit of God, blows where He wants to. In other words, you can't tell the Holy Spirit what to do. The Holy Spirit does what He wants. You can either work with Him or work against Him. The wind blows where He wants to. You don't know where He comes from, and you don't know where He is going. So it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. The wind. Can the wind blow in a room when you've closed the door? Take a look at that door in the front. If the wind was blowing strongly against that door, does it negate the power of the wind? No, it doesn't. The wind is still blowing. It just robs us of the opportunity of feeling the wind blow across us. Some churches are like that and some people are like that. When the wind begins to blow, some people are very quick to close the door. Boom, I don't like it. Some people don't like it when the Spirit of God begins to move. Strange but true. We need it. You know why? Because when the wind blows, life is given. And we all need life. The wind blows where He wants to. You don't know where He comes from and you don't know where He is going. In other words, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, He is unpredictable. When the Holy Spirit is in charge, you never know what's going to happen next. Look at Jesus. One day He turned water into wine. The next day He walked on water. The next day He cast out demons. The next day He healed every sick person in that village. Amen. The next day He told Peter, go catch a fish. You'll find a coin in the fish. Go pay my taxes. Hello? You want to go fishing now? You're going to catch a barber with a big Kruger Rand in. Well, stranger things have happened. You know, you never know. You never know. Yeah, you see, when the wives complain that the husbands go fishing, you must just explain to them it's a spiritual experience. It's in the Bible. You never know what's going to come of it. The wind blows where He wants to. You don't know where He comes from and you don't know where He is going. If you are in a place where everything is predictable, you are not where God moves. Because when God moves, He's unpredictable. And you know, a lot of people have a problem with that because they like to control the meeting. Me, I'm not in control of this meeting. I'm just talking. But when the wind wants to blow that way, I better move with him. And if he wants to blow that way, I better blow with him. And if he wants to do something now, I better do it because he must be in charge. If I take charge, I close the door. The wind stops blowing. The wind stops blowing, nobody gets healed. The wind stops blowing, nobody's life will change. The wind stops blowing, nobody gets saved. The wind stops blowing, no demons are going to run. Because it is the wind that causes all of that to happen. And we all need more of that. So, in closing, I want to say to you that every one of us has something special inside of us. The Bible calls it a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everybody wants to know, oh, what's my purpose or what's my destiny? What have I got inside of me? Earthly wisdom cannot tell you. You can go and sit with the psychiatrist or the psychologist or whatever, or the counselor, but they can't tell you. Can I tell you who's the only one that can tell you? God is the only one that knows. And you need to be where there is life for you to find out. Sometimes it'll come through a prophecy. Sometimes God will just touch you and something will begin to happen. Sometimes a gift will begin to operate in you and you will realize who you really are. But for all of that to happen, there's one thing that is needed. It's called life. Where do we get that life from? That life can only come from one place. It comes from God. Jesus Christ, here's the question, why did Jesus die? Simple. So that His life is now available to you. I think it was last week I spoke on the life of Christ. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have life forever. more abundantly. Tell me something. How are you going to have abundant life if you sit in a dead church? Can you have that? No, you can't. Everybody wants abundant life. You want abundant life? Find an abundant church. And when I talk about abundance, I'm not talking about a foyer the size of this hall, very opulent and nicely decorated. I'm talking about the life of God manifesting in the church. You know, a lot of people have this thing, oh, you know, we're in the biggest church in this area, and oh, we got this and we got, listen, yeah, none of that changes anybody's life. What changes people's lives is the power and the finger of God that moves. Jesus had no fancy, nothing. Jesus saw his people on the side of the road, saw his people on the seashore, on the beach, on the mountain, but the power of God moved. God still works that way today. I'm not saying God can't touch you in an opulent place. God can touch you anywhere. The question isn't how fancy is the place. The question is how powerful is the presence of God. That's the only choice, the only question we should really ask. So, what are the chances that the life of God is in this place today? I'm going to say it's brilliant. Can I tell you why? Because God has the right to move here any way he wants to. Because we have faith in him to change, to transform, to heal, to restore. Jesus asked the question once. He said, when I return to this earth, will I still find faith? Yes, there's faith in this place. Our faith is not in people. Our faith is not in organizations, institutions. We have faith in only one person. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is the great I am. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. And he is amazing. And he is alive. And the life that we need is his life, not anybody else's. It's time for us to get thirsty. Jesus said, come to me, all who are thirsty. Come to me, and I will give you the living water. So let me ask you a question today. Are you thirsty? Because you see, here's the thing. Some people are not really thirsty. They just think to themselves, I'll just taste it and see. Maybe I like it. Maybe I don't. This is not like a wine tasting where you're like. Some people treat God that way. They sip, 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 and then they spit it out. Oh, you know what? That's not for me. Well, how far are you going to go without water? Not very far. Your soul can't live without God. Your spirit can't live without God. You might exist without him. But you really did. But you can have life. Because life is available to every single person. Jesus said, if you are thirsty, I will give you the living water. And you will never thirst again. I want you all to close your eyes, please. Just everybody close their eyes. I want to ask you a question. How many of you feel that in some way, either God spoke to you today about your life in some way, about your future in some way, about you as a person? How many of you feel that maybe you realize today that your spirit is dry, that you're running on empty, that instead of living, you've just been existing, that you hear about the power of God, but you don't feel it and experience it in your own life? How many of you realize that you've never really come to the place that you've accepted what God has made available to you, and that the living water that is available can only come through Jesus, and Jesus is not really a big part of your life. If any of that which I shared now speaks to you in some way, raise your hand. I want to see. Well, praise God. Then here's what we're going to do. I want everybody to put their hand on their heart. Put your right hand on your heart. Then you pray this with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God. And I believe that you died on the cross for all of my sins. I believe that you rose again from the dead. And I believe you made available to me the life of Christ that conquered sin, that conquered sickness, that conquered death, decay, destruction. A life that conquered Satan, every devil, every demon, and every curse. And Lord, today, I want to say, I am thirsty. Forgive me, Lord, for sometimes being lax about the Spirit of God. For sometimes rejecting the grace of God. I need you. I'm thirsty. Please come into my life. Holy Spirit, please fill me. Please change me. And please restore me. Help me to find what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind has conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him. I thank you for this now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, praise God. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.